rules. On one side, you've got the Ten Commandments and your parents and your teachers telling you to mind or else. And on the other hand, you have these quotes that keep popping into your head. Rules are meant to be broken. It's easier to ask for forgiveness than to ask for permission. To follow rules or not, that seems to be where we're left after today's reading. You see, for 18 years, this woman has suffered, bent over and barely able to walk. Whether she had scoliosis or osteoporosis or some other condition, we aren't sure. Perhaps she was born this way, or perhaps her ailment has affected her to the point that she can no longer stand up straight. But it's important to note right off that she's not suffering because of some sin she committed or some wrongdoing that someone close to her did. Unlike other healing stories in the Gospels, she's not healed because of her faith or because of the faith of those around her either. But she comes to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. She comes to worship. She comes to pray. And perhaps she comes to see this teacher that she's heard so much about, who just happens to be in town, hoping to hear him, to see him, to touch him, to maybe be touched by him. She doesn't approach Jesus. She doesn't ask him to heal her. Instead, he's so moved by her presence that he calls her over and he lays hands on her, saying, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." And immediately she stands up straight, something she hasn't done for 18 years. And she starts praising God. "Woman, you are set free. Free from that which bedevils you. Free from that which is crippling you. Free from that which is preventing you from being all that God dreams and intends for you to be." And so she stands and praises God. And I imagine it a bit like that old song that says, "I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me." Free from the pain that she carried around, free from the things that made her feel like an outsider for so many years, she stands and she sings. She stands and she rejoices. I mean, is there anything better than that? Is there anything better than when you feel bound by something and then it's suddenly lifted? For her, it's a physical ailment. For us, it might be. But it might also be the experience of a lucky break during an extremely trying time, or a scan that comes back clean after months of treatment, or forgiveness when we least expect it. It's those times that we shed that dark cloud that's encircled us, that we finally stand up straight, and after months in the valley, we finally shake off those chains of guilt, of disease, of depression, of grief. And we finally feel free. But her newfound liberation, it stands in stark contrast to the rigidity and legalism of the synagogue leader. When we look at this story, we're quick to look at the leader of the synagogue and shake our finger at him, because clearly he's in the wrong. But we have to remember that people in leadership positions are supposed to care about the rules. Like, they're in that position because they know the importance of the rules and the reasons for keeping them. Any person that's been in a leadership position knows that it requires bearing the responsibility for understanding the rules in depth and then interpreting them as authentically and fairly as possible. As a leader, the safest course is usually to insist on the rules being followed at all times and in all places. That's why we have laws. That's why our workplaces have policies. It takes some serious fine-tuning to distinguish between upholding the rules and allowing for really exceptional cases. It requires weighing each potential exception with both the virtues of the rule and the sympathetic, scrutinizing compassion that Jesus brings. You see, the Sabbath is a serious deal in the Jewish tradition, especially back in Jesus' day. I mean, Christians, we too are supposed to take a Sabbath day to rest, to allow time for our bodies and our souls to be restored. But in some Jewish traditions, it might not even be permissible to break the Sabbath in order to save a life. So the woman that we meet in our scripture today, the woman that Jesus meets in the synagogue, she doesn't seem to be in any mortal danger. We're told that she's borne this affliction for 18 years. And so it's likely possible that she could wait another day to be healed. Or at least so the rules suggest. And in that same frame of mind, the leader of the synagogue instructs all the people gathered that day. There are 6 days that work can be done. Come on one of those 6 days and be healed. Don't come on the Sabbath for healing. You see, this woman, she finds herself in quite a different place than the leader that day. Because it's always a lot easier to counsel someone else to be patient. Let's be honest. Rules are likely to be considered reasonable when they don't affect the person who's enforcing them. But it seems like Jesus identifies more with the woman than with the leader, as though her suffering was his own or that of someone he was intimately connected with. Have you ever noticed how people's tenacity about rules tends to become more flexible, let's say, when the weight of the rule presses heavily on someone that they're close to? When a rule affects us or someone close to us, we begin to see injustice or even unintended consequences and cruelty in rules that we might ordinarily support. Like this 19-year-old young man I heard about who just last year posed as a doctor. He pretended to be a medical resident for months at a local hospital in India. He rounded with doctors, observed surgeries, and attended all sorts of events that were only for, like, you know, legit trained medical professionals. And when he was discovered, clearly he was put in jail. But later it was revealed that this whole thing started because his sister had leukemia. And he wanted her to have better access to the facilities and the treatment at that hospital that weren't readily available to her. Or maybe like Susan B. Anthony, who campaigned for equal rights for women and African Americans. And even though women weren't allowed to vote, she voted in the presidential election of 1872 and was quickly arrested for it. or like Nelson Mandela or Martin Luther King Jr. or so many others who were arrested for peacefully protesting the unjust and inhumane treatment of black people in their countries and in our country. It often takes a relationship with someone to help us see that there are exceptions to some rules and that other rules have no place in our world. It's often when you meet the young man from Honduras who does stellar handyman work while at the same time raising an amazing son who may or may not be documented. It's when you meet him that you begin to question some of our country's laws. Or it's when your daughter tells you that she's a lesbian, or your son comes home from school and you find out the only person who isn't bullying him is the gay guy in his class, and you wonder why our laws don't protect this community and why churches continue to discriminate. Observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy. It's a good rule. Just like the rule that doctors should be trained medical professionals and not 19-year-old brothers just needing to help out their sister who's sick. But when people don't have access to medical care, as the young woman in India didn't, or when people have been carrying around a burden for 18 years, forget the rules. At its core, our faith, it isn't about rules. It's about justice. It's about love for all of God's children. And so Jesus lays hands on that woman, and he suspends a perfectly good rule. And immediately, she's liberated. Immediately, she's singing, praising God because she's free. And then the entire crowd joins in this rejoicing. And this rejoicing, this story of the woman's healing on the Sabbath, it's immediately followed by two short and familiar parables, the mustard seed and the parable of the yeast. And in these parables, Jesus asks, to whom shall I compare the kingdom of God? Or easier to understand, what is the kingdom of God like? See, the story of healing on the Sabbath, it seems to anticipate both of these questions. It provides some kind of picture of what the ultimate reign of God looks like, of what the kingdom of God will be like. Where Jesus is, the kingdom is. Where Jesus is, things begin to be made right. His kingdom provides a foretaste of the coming kingdom. And the reign of God, all will be repaired. And the reign of God, there will be no conflicts between what is good for one and what is good for all. So perhaps Jesus and the leader of the synagogue and the woman who has bent over, perhaps together, they're telling us that it isn't about the rules. It's not about what is right or wrong, but instead it's about what is moral and what is just. Instead, it's about how Jesus frees us from the things in our lives that constrain us. Instead, it's about Jesus freeing us from the rigidity of laws that keep us from truly living into our faith. Instead, it's about the kingdom of God and how we can bring heaven here on earth. And so, we sing because we're happy, and we sing because we're free. His eye is on the sparrow. And I know he watches. I know he watches us. Amen.